Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Well, good Monday morning. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I want to talk to you today about a trap that gets so many Christians. It is the trap of legalism. We could call it the ditch of legalism. You know, Jesus said that there are two ways to travel in this world. This is Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount. He said there's the broad road that leads to destruction. We would call that, in our terms, the highway to hell. And Jesus said many are traveling the broad road. And he said then there's the narrow road that leads to life. And few are those who find the narrow road. And on the narrow road, you have the pavement being grace and truth. The narrow road is paved with grace and truth. That's when Jesus came. It says that he was full of grace and truth. We could say that the narrow road is paved with the blood of the Lord Jesus as he died on the cross for our sins. That is God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. There's grace there, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God, but there's also the truth of God, and they are melded together and welded together, never to come apart. Jesus was 100% grace and 100% truth at the same time, just as he was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. So every Christian, every person, when they're born into this world, is born on the broad road. We are sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as you travel the broad road, you're just going along in life, and then all of a sudden, you hear the message of Jesus. This is the testimony of every Christian. You hear the message of Jesus. You hear the message of the cross and the empty tomb. You hear the truth, and you hear of his grace, and you respond to Christ, and you get off the broad road, and then you're on the narrow road that leads to life. And on the narrow road, there's a ditch on the right, and there's a ditch on the left. The ditch on the right is the ditch of legalism, the ditch of rule-keeping. Very easy to fall into that ditch. The ditch on the left is the ditch of license. You say, what is license? That's thinking that grace gives you a license to sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because Romans 5 says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So the ditch on the left says, well, hey, since I have grace and the narrow road is paved with God's grace, I can do whatever I want. And you fall into this ditch of license, thinking that God's grace is a license to sin, and it's not, because it's grace and truth. Now, I think that most Christians, we know that it's wrong to sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans chapter 6. And we know that we can't just live any way we want and please God. But, and so we kind of see that ditch and we say, you got to get out of that ditch. You got to stay away from that ditch. But so often we fall into the ditch of legalism. And what exactly is legalism? One author defined it this way: legalism promotes the earning and keeping of God's grace based on performance. Personal performance is your continuing personal atonement. Now, when Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia — Galatia is not a city, it's a region, and Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe are some of the cities there in that southern region of Galatia — Paul visited those cities and established those churches on his first missionary journey around 47-48 A.D., and then he wrote Galatians in 49 A.D., and this is what would happen when Paul would go to a place. He would he would preach the gospel of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, the grace of God, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God that is poured out on the cross in the empty tomb, and that although you're a sinner, you can come to Christ and be forgiven and be changed from the inside out and have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he would preach the gospel and people would respond. And on the heels of Paul leaving a city to go to another city to preach the gospel of the grace of God, people would follow after him. They're called the Judaizers. And these were Jews who would tell these Gentile believers, hey, if you're going to really please God, if you're going to serve God, you have to follow the law of Moses. And they were really big on circumcision. That was their big thing. You know, circumcision is a sign of the old covenant, the old deal God had with his people. But circumcision doesn't transfer over into the new covenant. The new covenant is a covenant in his blood. And how do we give a testimony to the fact that we are believers in Jesus, that we belong to Jesus? In the new covenants, through immersion baptism. And we are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to show the world that we've died to our old way of life and we have a brand new life in Jesus. Well, these Judaizers would come in with their law and the law of Moses and their rules. And they say, unless you do this, you can't walk with God. You can't be a Christian. You can't please God. Well, Paul said, hey, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he's under obligation, not to just keep circumcision, but to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. You want to know if you are a person who has maybe slipped into the ditch of legalism? You know, it's a very insidious thing. You can think you're doing, you're really walking well with the Lord and not even realize, man, I have broken down. I've slid into this ditch. Let me ask you some questions to just check yourself, because as I said, legalism is a very insidious thing, a very subtle deception from the enemy. So let me ask you some questions. Number one, do you try to control God by being a good, obedient Christian? Do you think that that is possible, that if I'm a good, obedient Christian, then I can get God to do what I want him to do for me? Do you try to control God by that? Number two, do you get angry at God when life doesn't go as you think you deserve? Is serving God a chore and a bore and something you have to do, not something you get to do or want to do? Is your Christianity like taking bad medicine to get well? Do you have trouble forgiving other people? Do you tend to be quick to judge other people? Are you a person who really lacks joy in life? Do you have a tendency to elevate traditions and personal preferences over the commands of God? Do you find yourself comparing yourself often to other people? You know, those are good self-evaluation questions to just kind of reveal and uncover if perhaps we have fallen into the ditch of legalism, into the ditch of rules and rule-keeping. Listen, if we put it in terms of the scripture, what is the ditch of legalism? It is adding the works of the law to grace. It is saying that, okay, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and it is grace, for by grace you've been saved through faith, but I have to do my part. I mean, there's no free lunch. I need to do my part to make this salvation equation work. You know, grace plus works equals salvation. But that's not true at all. That's not biblical at all. It's for by grace, Ephesians 2, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. Has nothing to do with works. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, very important verse. It says, talking about salvation, for if it is by grace, the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God, for if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. You say, what does that mean? That means grace and the works of the law are mutually exclusive. You can't mix those together. Grace is the unearned, unmerited favor of God. Work, what are works? Works are things that you do. So that would be the merit. So you can't mix merit with the unmerited favor of God. The moment that you put works into grace, you destroy the concept of grace. There are two ways to go in life, two roads to travel. As Jesus said, there's the narrow road, grace and truth. There's the broad road. What is the broad road paved with? Works, good intention, human pride. And you can, that road, many travel it. It leads to destruction. It is the highway to hell. So many religious people are on the broad road. Do you remember what Jesus said? Matthew 7, right after he talks about the narrow road and the broad road, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. For many will say to me on that day, on judgment day. Now listen to what they say. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You did all these things thinking that that would earn my favor, thinking that that would earn my acceptance. Legalism promotes the earning and keeping of God's grace based on performance, as that author's definition goes. And that's what you see at the judgment, at the great white throne judgment. Religious people saying, wait a minute, Lord, I did all these things, and didn't I do enough, didn't I work enough to make my place in heaven? Listen, grace and works are mutually exclusive, and you only get to heaven by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. You remember the Philippian jailer when the earthquake came and all the prisoners' chains fell off? And he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, do yourself no harm, for we are all still here. And he came, rushed in, trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, what do I have to do? Do I have to join a church? Do I have to get baptized? Do I have to get circumcised? Do I have to do this, that, the other? What must I do? There's got to be something to do. And Paul said to him, what must you do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. And if your household believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved too. For by grace, you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works of righteousness, Paul says to Titus, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shree, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We're talking about the ditch of legalism, the ditch that hinders so many Christians in their spiritual growth. We're going to have a great discussion today. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner. American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference. One significant way you can join us in this battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. Not only will the charitable gift annuity benefit you, but it will benefit the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
Do you want God to work a miracle in your life? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Listen, I don't know how God is speaking to your heart and what He's speaking to your heart about, but I know this, He's present and He's looking for people who will believe Him, who will step up. God shows up when you and I step up.
Let God show up in your life. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
This is the sound of not just one, not just two, but three heartbeats. Heartbeats that were birthed through the ministry of preborn. The heartbeat of a preborn baby can be heard as early as 6 weeks on ultrasound. The sound of a heartbeat changes everything.
I came seeking termination, but once I got here and I took an ultrasound, I was overjoyed when I found out that I was having three baby boys.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free heartbeats for moms in crisis in America and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. And this time, there were three. To find out more, go to preborn.com or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'm also the founder of From His Heart Ministries, as you just heard that little clip. And From His Heart airs every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. I'd love for you to tune in. Well, we're talking about the ditch of legalism. You know, in the Christian life, that is a temptation for all of us who desire to serve the Lord and please the Lord, is that we turn our relationship with the Lord into keeping rules, into a bunch of do's and don'ts. Now, it's important to remember that the devil has legalists on his team. There are unbelievers that are all steeped in rules, false religions. Islam is all about works. So many of the really every false religion, every false cult, when you boil it down, how does a person get right with God? How does a person make it to heaven or whatever they call their heaven? It's through works. You have to do. What must I do? Well, you have to do this and this and this. You have to give your money. You have to abide by these rules. You have to pray so many times a day. It's all about works. And the Christian gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, is not about works. It's about grace and faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not as a result of works. The little couplet says this, I cannot work my soul to save, that work my Lord has done, but I will work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. Here's why we get so fouled up when it comes to works. And here's how we can easily fall into the ditch of legalism. We know that the Christian life is to be a life that is lived where men see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Jesus said that. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, we take good works and we say, well, see, those are important. They are important. But works are not the root of salvation. They're the fruit of salvation. Works naturally come when you're connected to the Lord, abiding in the Lord, loving on the Lord, growing in the Lord, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John 15 is very clear. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that remains and abides, it bears fruit. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And if you don't bear fruit, it's because you're not abiding in the vine. The Apostle Paul said, talking about the devil's legalists that came into the cities in Galatia, he said, but it was because of the false brethren who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. You know, when Jesus came into the world and he was looking at what the Pharisees and the scribes had done to the Old Testament law, just turning it into rules, 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 rules. And it was always designed to be a relationship. But my righteous one shall live by faith, the scripture says. And Abraham believed God and his faith was counted for righteousness. God has never designed salvation to be keeping a list of rules. And Jesus came and saw that the Pharisees were putting these heavy burdens on people. And he says to the people, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. You're trying so hard to do all these rules to somehow earn God's favor. Just come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I am gracious and kind, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hey, you can go the way of works if you want to, but that is going to fail, and that will end up in eternal hell. That's where most people go. The way... On the broad road, many are those who walk that way. But if you go the narrow road of by grace through faith, if you go that way, few are those who find it, because there's something in our sinful nature that says, well, wait a minute, that it's just too easy. I was talking to a boss one day when I was working in the chemical business, and I got to share the gospel with him, and he was very steeped in a denomination that was works-oriented, and I shared the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ, and he listened to the presentation, and he said to me when I was done, that's too easy. That's too easy. There must be something I have to do in order for this to take effect for me. That's the way our minds work. There's a way, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Hey, it seems right to us to add works to the cross, to try and help God out a little bit. But the cross is God's gift to you and me that came at an incredible price, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. I mean, you think about the cost for your salvation, for my salvation, that God would send his son into the world to be beaten and mocked and scourged and spit upon and nailed to a tree. And that's the only way that we can be forgiven and set free. That tremendous cost that the Lord paid. Now, Jesus gave his life, but the Father gave his Son. And those of us who are parents know that it is much harder to give your child than it is to give yourself. When my kids were little and they were sick, I'd be like, oh, I wish I had this sickness. I wish I had this stomach bug, and not you, Jill, not you, Amy, not you, Sarah, because I don't want to see you hurt. Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his son. The son gave his life freely for you. And then we would think that we have to add in our church attendance or our giving or our this or our that or the other in order to complete our salvation. Man, how insulting. The Bible talks about insulting the spirit of grace in the book of Hebrews. We just receive the grace of God. As I read one quote, it said, you know, you don't grow into grace. You grow in grace. Because grace is a gift. It's a gift of God. Now, so important. People say, well, what's the purpose of the law? Why did God give the law then if the law doesn't save? The law is our thermometer. The law shows you how sick you are. It says in Galatians 3:24, the law is our tutor to lead us to Christ. The law shows you that you're a sinner, and not just a sinner, you're a helpless sinner. And not just a helpless sinner, you're a hopeless, helpless sinner. There's nothing you can do. You're on the highway to hell. And there's no way that you can reverse that. There's no way that you can get off that road. And the soul who sins shall die. That's what the law says. It's amazing when you think about it that so many people cling to the law for salvation. Think about you're out in the middle of the ocean and you're drowning in the ocean and you're trying to, you know, to tread water, but you're running out of gas and you need somebody to throw you a life preserver. Well, the gospel is that life preserver, the gospel of grace. The law is a boat anchor. If you're trying to tread water out in the ocean and you need a life preserver and someone throws you a boat anchor, you grab that thing, you're going down. That's what the law does. It just shows you you're a sinner. And it has come to be our tutor to lead us to Christ. It was never designed to save anyone. It just shows you that you're a sinner in need of grace. And we cry out, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this sin? We cry out to Jesus. Now, because legalism tends to sound right to us, it's attractive to our fallen nature because there's no free lunch. I got to do these things in order to be saved. And here are some check marks with legalism and the dangers of it and the poison of it. It puts external rules above an internal relationship with God. It says that I'm a good Christian if I go to church and Sunday school, if I give my money, if I have a quiet time, if I pray for 15 minutes a day. And man, I'm a really good Christian if I pray for 30 minutes a day. And so we start watching the clock. How much time have we given to the Lord? Because man, I get gold stars if I go, you know, an extra 15 minutes. And we start to have these rules and this checklist going on in our relationship with the Lord. And it's really not a relationship. It's just about checking boxes. Christianity is not about checking boxes. It's all about heart. When I started From His Heart Ministries, I knew in 2000, we began the ministry late 2004, started airing 2005. I knew I wanted heart in the title of the ministry. I didn't want my name in there. I just wanted heart. And so we were going through different names, and a lot of ministries use heart in some form or fashion. So From His Heart, I was working with an attorney. He said, yeah, that one's not taken, so you can use that one. And so we came up with From His Heart Ministries. People have asked me, well, whose heart are we talking about? I said, From His Heart. It's God's heart. It's God's heart through my heart to your heart, because Christianity is all about heart. It's not about external. It's about the internal. That's what Jesus got onto the Pharisees about. He goes, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're rotten. You clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but you don't clean the inside of the cup. Do you want to drink from a cup that's filthy on the inside but looks good on the outside? Of course not. Christianity is an inside job. It's not an outside job. The Lord comes into our hearts when we repent and believe, and He works His way out. And so you see, over time, as this person who has been saved now begins to change, that the Lord is present. So if you're putting rules above relationship, you're barking up the wrong tree. As the scripture says, you've been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. Galatians 5:4. Don't ever get the idea that he's talking about losing your salvation. He's not talking about that. He's saying that there's only one way to travel with the Lord, and that is through grace, by grace through faith. And if you're going and getting circumcised and trying to fulfill all the requirements of the law, then you've gotten off the road of grace, and now you're on the road of works, and you're not in the realm of grace anymore. And you've gotten on a road that leads to nowhere. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. And it's all about relationship. God wants us to love Him with all our hearts. We do good works. Now get this. We do good works not to earn God's favor, not to earn His acceptance. We already have God's acceptance. We already have God's favor. The moment you and I receive Christ is the moment that God receives us. God accepts us when we accept Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved is Jesus. And if you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and receive Him as Lord and Savior, God receives you and God accepts you and God sees you in His Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, God is not pleased when we sin, obviously, but He's pleased with us. My three girls, I'm not pleased when they make sinful, bad decisions, but I'm pleased with them. They belong to me and they'll always belong to me. And no matter what they do, they'll always be my girls. That's the way it is with God. We are accepted in the Beloved. Well, we're going to be taking calls, and I'd love to talk to you about this thing called legalism, because it is something that so many well-meaning Christians fall into, and everything becomes a list of do's and don'ts, a list of rules. Don't drink, don't chew, don't go with girls that do, and that makes me a good Christian. I'm a fundamentalist. I was listening to a John MacArthur podcast where he was talking about how Christians used to be called. They were called Christians, and then that term got so watered down that we had to come up with another term. We called ourselves evangelicals, and then Billy Graham was an evangelical, and some people rebelled against him because they thought he was too ecumenical, so they came up with the word fundamentalist. Bob Jones had a fundamentalist university, and they were talking to John MacArthur. He said, are you a fundamentalist? He said, no. He said, because I'm fundamental in my faith, just as I am, just as American Family Radio and American Family Association is very fundamental. We believe the fundamentals of the faith. But here's how John MacArthur defined fundamentalist. It's no fun, too much damn, not enough mental. And that if you study about Bob Jones University, you find that it was even John MacArthur went there for a year, and it was just turning everybody into a rule keeper, and it downplayed the personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it's all about heart. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me, Jesus said of the Pharisees. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Well, I'd love to take your calls in this next segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's talk about this thing called legalism, because it's an insidious enemy to the Christian life. God doesn't want us to fall into the ditch of legalism. He doesn't want us to fall into the ditch of license. He wants us to walk on the narrow road that leads to life with Him. It's a wonderful life with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Don't go away.
when you hear this.
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah. I called and right away, Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-788-1813.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
AFA is here every day fighting for the future of America, and praise be to God, we're making a difference. One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the issue of legalism, the ditch of legalism. It's one of the ditches, one of the two ditches on the narrow road that leads to life. Legalism on one side, license on the other side. Both are a distortion of grace and truth. The narrow road is paved with grace and truth and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as I said, legalism is an easy thing for Christians to fall into. I was reading the book on grace by Jerry Bridges, and he said that he was at a particular church, and he was had a sermon all prepared. He was going to talk to them about the cost of discipleship. And he said he gets to the church about 15 minutes before the service, and they tell him, hey, we just had a staff member die a few days ago, and everybody is in mourning. And you need to be aware of that. And Bridges said, man, my sermon just did not fit the situation at all. And so he said, I had 15 minutes to come up with another sermon. And so he said, I began to pray. And he said, subconsciously, I was thinking, okay, now, let's see, have I had a quiet time this morning? Have I done this? Have I done that? Am I on good standing with God to ask for this big prayer request? And he realized, he caught himself and he said, wait a minute. I don't approach God based on how good I'm doing. I don't approach God based on my personal performance. I approach God based on grace. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us boldly and confidently come before the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God sits on a throne of grace, on the unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor of God. And Jerry Bridges said that the Lord gave him, by his grace, a message to share with those people. Well, we're taking your calls, 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk with you about this thing called grace and the ditch called legalism. Well, we have Louie on the line from Virginia. Louie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Praise God. How are you doing this morning,
Bob? Good. How are you?
Yeah, my question, I'm doing good. I'm blessed. Every day is a good day, just some better than others.
I like that. That's good.
My question is, with marijuana being legal, and I've been kind of struggling with this, and I guess I'm guilty. It's legal now. I don't smoke anymore. But my question is, I have friends that do, and I get it for them. Is that wrong?
This is medical marijuana?
No, it's not medical. I get it from somebody, and they give me the money, and I get it for them.
Yeah. I'd have a real problem with that, Louis. If I'm you, I wouldn't get alcohol for anybody. Here's the thing about that. So you get into some gray areas. So, you know, the Bible is, we have black and white areas, and then there's some gray areas. 1 Corinthians 8 talks about Christian liberty, eating meat sacrificed to idols. Some say you can, some say you can't. Everything is about testimony. So your testimony for Jesus, is this going to enhance your testimony or potentially hurt your testimony with people? If they know that you're buying pot for a friend of theirs, you're not smoking it, but you're providing it for them, I think some people could have a legitimate question with that and say, I don't think you should be doing that. I don't think that's glorifying to God. And so Paul said, I'll not eat meat or drink wine or do anything that would cause my brother to stumble. And so I think that you'd have to put it in that category and say, is that a good thing for me to be doing? Is it good for my friend to be getting high? Obviously not. And I don't think, I've never been in the drug culture, so I don't think people, you know, you talk about social drinkers. I've never heard anybody talk about social pot smokers. Most of them are smoking pot to get high. Is that correct?
Yeah. I guess, too, you know, with the medical being out, does that make it legal, too, since it's legal? I mean, it is. I've done a lot of reading. It does a lot of stuff, and that's with the CBD and I know some people smoking and relieves anxiety and depression on some people and stuff.
Right.
But that's just like, I put it like with prescription drugs. I quit doing any prescription. I do natural and I pray.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, since it's now, I mean, there are some good benefits from the CBD, and I guess some people smoke it. And so that if they got a license, I mean, if they got a license and everything and a prescription, does that still... Because to me, if you favor one, can you down the other if you favor the other, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think it comes to motivation. What is really motivating this person? Is it the feeling that they get from it or, quote-unquote, the health benefits from it? I talked to somebody that said, you know, you can get the CBD without getting high, so you get the benefit of that. So I don't really know. I would just, me personally, Louis, I'd have trouble with that because I just say, that seems like meat sacrificed to idols. I just don't want to go there. But so the scripture says this, let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. Happy is the man who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So I would encourage you to just bring that before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I don't know if this is right or wrong. So I need you to show me because I want my life to count all that it can count for Jesus. Now, when I got saved, drinking was a big issue. And people will say today, well, there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't drink. Well, there might not be anything in the Bible that says you can't drink. There is something in the Bible that says wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. And my attitude's always been this way. I want my life to count the most it can count for Christ, and alcohol does not help me with that. It hinders me with that. And my friends looked at me when I became a Christian, and they said, if you're drinking, we don't want to hear anything you have to say about Jesus because you're a hypocrite. And so that was just the world I was in. And so I said, okay, well, then I'm going to quit drinking because I care more about sharing the truth of the good news of Jesus with you, and I don't want to put up a stumbling block to anybody. And so that's kind of how I put those issues, Louie, and I hope that's helpful for you. But I appreciate you calling in, and I think that's really a good question, so I appreciate you bringing that up. God bless you, my brother. Well, we have Bill from Texas on the line. Bill, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Two questions real quick. I don't want to be off track, so I want to make sure if I'm off track, you could just go on to the next caller. But we were talking yesterday, my wife and I, about the narrow way versus the broad way. The narrow way meaning, I look at that as there's only one way to the Lord, and it's through Jesus Christ. I also wonder if you can interpret that as the narrow, once you're a believer, you also have the choice to go the narrow way or the broad way in terms of your life, like choices, lust, premarital sex, gambling. Once you're a believer, you know, you are complete in Christ, you're saved. I believe in eternal security. I don't think I can lose my salvation. You also stumble sometimes, and so I'm wondering if you can interpret that broad way versus the narrow way, those two ways. And then the second thing is, I told the secretary, she asked me what my topic was. You mentioned when you shared the gospel with your employer years ago, he said, that's too easy. There's got to be more than that. Is that reference to the stumbling block of Christ the same thing? When I think about that reference to the stumbling block, and I don't remember if it was Paul or one of the Gospels, to me that comes to mind of he's a stumbling block to people that want to think, there's no way. I've got to be able to earn my salvation, therefore I'm not good enough. Is that also how you interpret that stumbling block of Christ? And why people don't trust and don't believe in him, because they think there's a lot more you got to do, so it's a stumbling block to them.
Yes, yeah, those are good questions. You could look at it like that. I think when he's talking about to the Jews a stumbling block and to Greeks foolishness, the stumbling block was the scandal of the Christ. The word stumbling block is scandalon, and so it was a scandal that the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, whom they said comes to conquer, is now being crucified. And you remember Peter said to Jesus when he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Matthew 16. And then in just a few verses, Jesus said, well, hey, this is what's going to happen. The Son of Man's going to be crucified and delivered up. And Peter said, God forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you. And Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're setting your mind on man's interests, not God's. And so you go from being, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Matthew 16, to just a few verses in Matthew 16 where he says, get behind me, Satan. But in the mind of the Jew, the Christ wasn't going to suffer and die. He was going to conquer and win and lead. And so that's the stumbling block for the Jews. But now the stumbling block for us with regard to the cross, I think, is exactly right. It's, hey, I have to do something in addition. I have to add my puny little 25 cents worth of works to the gazillion-dollar gift of salvation. It's if someone gives you a gift, let's say they brought over a brand new Rolls Royce to your house that cost them $500,000 and said, I'm giving you this as a gift, and you say, well, that's just too much. Here, let me help you pay for that. Here's a quarter. That's an insult to the giver. We try and add our puny little 25 cents worth of works to what Jesus did on the cross. What an insult to the Spirit of grace. So that indeed is a stumbling block. And my friend was saying, yeah, it can't just be all of grace. It has to be of works, because he grew up in a church where works were, I mean, you had to work your way. You didn't know if you were going to heaven or not. You have to work your way. You can't find out until you die if you're going to heaven, because it's based on how well you did. It's based on performance. As to the other question, Bill, about the narrow road and the broad road, there are only two roads, and there are only believers and unbelievers. There are the saints and the ain'ts. And just as Paul said in Galatians 5 to those Christians, you were running well. You started out well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who cut in on you? Who blew up the road? That's what the word hindered meant, so that you can't make any more progress. And so there are those that are not progressing on the narrow road that leads to life. They're in the ditch of legalism, or they're in the ditch of license, and their sins are just consuming them, or self-righteousness and pride is consuming them on the legalistic side. And so we can quit making progress in the Christian life, but there's not a narrow road on top of the narrow road. I wouldn't look at it that way. But definitely we do battle with sin every single day. You do, I do, the Apostle Paul did. So Romans 6, we're dead to sin. Romans 7, we still struggle with sin. Romans 8, the answer is to walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So thanks so much for calling in, Bill, and thanks for those good questions. Well, we have Sarah on the line from Alabama. Sarah, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I do enjoy your show, both of them. I just feel like I grow in my faith listening. I went to a college and received the Lord as my Savior late, like I call it late, but 19 years old. I was raised in a works-based church in my earlier years, and my question is, I truly felt when I received the Lord as my Savior, the burden of my sin just came off of me. I mean, I just felt so liberating and so full of God's love, but I also know that there is a verse about carrying, I think, following Christ and carrying your cross. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you've already answered that, but can you explain carrying, you know, the cross? Is it more like the evangelical sharing about Christ?
Well, okay, so when he talks about you must carry your cross, a cross was an instrument of death. And so the Christian life is lived by dying to self. As Paul said, I die daily. So every day we start off the Christian life, Sarah, and we say, Lord, I belong to you. Here I am. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So the way that we live the Christian life is to say, Lord, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, Galatians 2:20. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And we pray with Jesus every day, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Because I'm your servant. I belong to you. You're my life. You're my everything. You're my all. And so that's what Jesus meant by taking up your cross and following him. We die to our old way of life. And we let him who is now our life, who lives inside of us, we let him be in control. And we walk in the power of his Spirit. He will guide us and he will lead us where he wants us to go. So thank you so much for calling in, Sarah. And thank you for your kind comments. Thank you for listening to the program and for listening to our From His Heart broadcast every weeknight at 6 o'clock. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Hey, let's walk on the narrow road of grace and truth. And just stand amazed and in awe of what God has done. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.